The Hearts and Lives of Men, a novel written by Faye Weldon, narrated by Michelle Ford. Listener, I am going to tell you the story of Clifford, Helen, and little Nell. Helen and Clifford wanted everything for Nell, and wanted it so much and so badly, their daughter was in great danger of ending up with nothing at all, not even life. If you want a great deal for yourself, it is only natural to want the same for your children. Alas, the two are not necessarily compatible. Love at first sight, that old thing. Helen and Clifford looked at one another at a party back in the 60s. Something quivered in the air between them, and for good or bad, Nell began. Spirit made flesh, flesh of their flesh, love of their love. And fortunately, and no thanks to the pair of them, it was, in the end, for good. There. You know already this story is to have a happy ending. But it's Christmas time. Why not? Back in the 60s. What a time that was. When everyone wanted everything and thought they could have it, and what's more, had a right to it. Marriage and freedom within it. Sex without babies. Revolution without poverty. Careers without selfishness. Art without effort. Knowledge without learning by rote. Dinner, in other words, and no dishes to clean up afterward. "Why don't we do it in the road?" they cried. Why not? Ah, but they were good days. When the Beatles filled the airwaves, and if you looked down, you discovered you had a flowered plastic carrier bag in your hand and not a plain brown one, and that the shoes on your feet were suddenly green or pink and not the brown or black your forebears had been wearing for centuries. When a girl took a pill in the morning to prepare her for whatever safe sexual adventures the day might bring, and a youth lit a cigarette without a thought of cancer and took a girl to bed without fear of worse. When the cream flowed thick into beurre fondue d'aube, and no one had heard of a low-fat, low-protein diet, and no one dreamt of showing starving babies on TV, and you could have your cake and eat it too. Those years when the world lurched out of earnestness and into frivolity were fun indeed for Clifford and Helen, but not, when it came to it, for little Nell. Angels of gravity and resolution need to stand around the newborn's crib, the more so if the latter happens to be draped in brilliant psychedelic satin, not sensible white, washable, ironable cotton. Actually, as it happened, I doubt the angels were around for the asking. They were off in other parts of the world, hovering shocked over Vietnam and Biafra or the Golan Heights. Even if Clifford and Helen had remembered to send out the invitations, which they hadn't. People like Clifford and Helen love and create havoc in every decade, in every century, in every corner of the globe, and the children of lovers, any place, any time, might just as well be orphans for all the attention they get. The 60s. In the first half of the seventh decade of the 20th century, that's when Nell was born. At the party at Leonardo's at which Clifford first saw Helen across a crowded room, and Nell began, caviar and smoked salmon were served.